Now, I'm thinking as we get going this morning, first of all, this is a box of rocks, all right? I'm going to stand by it, and if by the end of services today it's still dumber, we're in good shape, all right? Everybody get a rock this morning? Everybody got a rock? If you didn't get a rock, raise your hand, please. Okay, we've got a few. Well, here comes my lovely assistant, Brian. Who will now also distribute some rocks. So as you see Brian going around with the box, the other box of rocks, make sure that's also dumber and get a rock from him here in a moment, all right? I'm thinking as I'm talking about rocks this morning that God must have thought rocks were very important as he created the world because he made a lot of them. Ask any farmer, all right? And they'll tell you, yep, there are a lot of rocks. This is a big rock. There's even a whole range of mountains made out of them. And what is it named? Sure enough, the Rockies. What a great name. I wonder who thought that one up. What are some things you can do with rocks? Audience participation. Things you can do with rocks. Not throw them at the preacher. What are some things that you can do with a rock? Landscaping, a rock garden, throw them, skip, all right, skip them on water, hold a tarp down. See, you thought this was just a rock. No, this is a throw it, landscaping item, hold a tarp down thing. There's some other neat stuff that can be done with rocks. You can make a millstone out of a rock. Millstone? Yeah, that's a millstone to grind grain with. Rocks have been used in the past to make sling stones. Don't get any ideas, but those were a weapon that could be used. And in fact, it wasn't too uncommon in the Middle East that mangers were made of stone. You can do a lot of neat things with rocks. While they were wandering around in the desert, Israel had a lot of rocks. You know, rocks are pretty hard, aren't they? That's one thing you can say about a rock. It usually lasts a long time. And because of that, it can take quite a beating. It can be used for a tool. It can be used for a weapon. And while they might be useful for some things like that, one thing that most rocks aren't good for is water. You can take lemons or limes and squeeze the juice out of them and make a drink. They even take things, I say they, not me, like kale and carrots. You make a smoothie out of that thing and drink it. But you're going to have to squeeze a lot of rocks to get any juice. They're just not much good for water. Israel's going through the desert. We're in Numbers chapter 20 this morning. If you want to open up your Bibles to Numbers chapter 20, we are finding them working their way up into the Negev region, which is the horrible desert south of the Dead Sea. They're out there in the wilderness. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They're finally making their approach to the promised land, and they find themselves with no water. And so they begin to complain. They sound suspiciously a whole lot like the previous generation of whiners. They start complaining about no water because just like Charlie Brown at Halloween, all they got's a rock. Moses and Aaron go and fall on their faces before the Lord. What do we do? God told them, go out to a certain rock, speak to it. And water was going to come gushing out of that rock. And so Moses and Aaron go out, Moses with his staff. Verse 10, look at it. He says, as he speaks to the people, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And Moses whacked it with his stick. And water comes gushing out. Enough for the whole nation and all of their livestock. Imagine the sounds of relief and of joy coming out of these people, sounding like a bunch of kids on a hot summer day in New York when a fire hydrant's been opened. But there was something about the attitude of Moses and Aaron. some lack of trust in God, some reaction to the people's whining. It caused them to speak rashly. God wanted to use this scene with a rock and water gushing out of it to prove his holiness, and Moses and Aaron wanted to use it for something else. They said something they shouldn't. We tend to forget scenes like that in our life, don't we? The ones where we said something we shouldn't. But God didn't forget it. Israel continued traveling on to the promised land, and on the border of Edom, God had them pause. Aaron would not be going in. In fact, God had Moses and Aaron and his son Eleazar make a field trip, a hike up Mount Hor. Picture this scene. Aaron, old and feeble, climbs up the mountain, still wearing the special uniform of the priest. And it's a grim scene. The whole nation of Israel watches and says goodbye as Aaron goes up the mountain. And when they get to the top, there it says, Moses stripped him of the priestly garments and put them on his son, Eleazar. And there is Aaron, old and shivering in the cold mountain air. And there he dies. Moses and Eleazar come back down the mountain without Aaron. Not much of a retirement party. All because of an incident with a rock. Chapter 27. God informs Moses he won't be going in either. He'll be allowed to climb a different mountain, Mount Nebo. He'll be allowed to look across and see the promised land. Verse 13, after you've seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. Israel's leader for 40-plus years, who had stuck by those people, who had pled on their behalf, who had stood in the gap between them and God, wouldn't be allowed to enter the promised land, all because of an incident involving a rock. Who knew? Who knew that a rock could be so versatile and so volatile? On one hand, it became this source of life-giving water that saved the entire nation of Israel and all of their livestock. And on the other hand, it became the point at which Aaron and Moses blew their opportunity to enter into the promised land. So that one day, 100 years later, as a Jewish dad is reading at bedtime to his kids from their History of Israel story scroll, he reads the story about a certain stone in the wilderness of Zin, a stone where God poured out water that saved the nation of Israel, and a stone where Moses and Aaron blew their chance to enter the promised land. There is another Bible story about another rock that came much later, and this rock was also both a source of life and a point of great failure. And for those who accept that rock and build your life on it, it's a foundation. But for those who reject it, that rock becomes a rock that makes you stumble and fall. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Fact is, everybody's got some rocks in their life that they try to build on. You have rocks in your life. It might be your faith in Jesus. It may be your confidence in your own intelligence. It might be your heritage or your traditions. There might be some current cause or some movement. But somewhere in there, deep down in your life, there are things that you really believe. They show up in your bank account and what you do with your time. They show up in your attitudes and your words. They're the rocks. They're the things in life that you are counting on to be solid and real and true. Right up till Christmas time here on Sunday mornings, We're going to be going back into the Old Testament each week and looking at some Old Testament baby pictures of Jesus. He's all over the Old Testament. And many of those Old Testament images aren't things that we would have figured on. Things like Jesus is a rock. Not much of a picture, is it? But Jesus himself and several places in the Old Testament make that connection for us. Fast forward to 1 Corinthians. Paul is using really highly metaphorical language when he writes that as Israel was wandering around in the desert, they drank from a spiritual rock that was traveling with them. And that rock, he says, was Jesus. Jesus was there with them. As they were wandering around in the desert, he says, Jesus was with them. And just like that rock in the desert meant salvation for some, and it meant the stumbling of others, the rock called Jesus has got different effects on different people. A lot of places talk about it. One of the best ones, I think, is in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Peter looks back at the Old Testament and he says this. In Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. If you leave with nothing else this morning, I want you to remember that Central Christian Church rocks, okay? But there's really one thing I want to get across, and that's this. Jesus is the rock that shelters and saves us when we seek him, or the rock that trips and crushes us if we reject him. That may sound rough, but have you noticed that's the nature of rocks? They're kind of rough, aren't they? They're great for building on, but they're not so great to have falling on you. So I want to take a few minutes just to talk about Jesus being the rock and then figure out what you're going to do with those rocks that you've got in your hands if you haven't thrown them at me by then. First of all, if you're needing help, Jesus is solid protection. Learn that from the rock. You know, when a lady says to her guy, "You're my rock," well, that's a good thing, isn't it, ladies? Just in case you're wondering, yes, it is. If you want to see your husband walk an inch taller, if you want to see him go off to work tomorrow morning with his chin up a little bit more, you lean in on him sometime and you say to him, "Thank you for being my rock." It'll happen. Doesn't take a degree to understand what that means, does it? Fact is, we all could use something in our lives that's rock solid, can't we? And some are looking for it more than others because some things in life you have found have let you down. They weren't solid after all. A spouse let you down. Finances failed. Health went away. Someone you loved is no longer here. And I want to tell you this morning, if that's you, if you thought that you had this solid thing in your life, but you have found out that it crumbled or it wasn't solid after all, Jesus is solid protection for people who need that. I found it in the book of Psalms. There was one book, as I was getting ready for this message, that I looked through, just looking for the times that the Lord is referred to as the rock or my rock. Just in the book of Psalms, I found at least 18 of them. Psalms like Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Verse 31, "For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except for our God?" Verse 46, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior." Do you see a pattern here? 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And on and on and on goes this list of verses where the psalmist is looking to God and saying to him, you are my rock. You are this solid thing in my life, the rock. And the point of all those verses, when you take them together, I think is pretty obvious. Rocks are strong, aren't they? Rocks don't move easily, not large ones. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that if I were to go hiking on the same trail in Colorado where 10 years ago I took a picture of a rock, I'll bet that rock is still there. I'll bet it's still there. Rocks don't just move around. And they can provide shelter and protection. It's no mistake when the scriptures look at Jesus and take a picture of him and call him a rock. Because if you're a person who's in need of strength and of protection in your life, Jesus is what you need. Amen? He's solid protection for the people that turn to him. Get that this morning. Jesus is that rock. Let's get a little deeper now. If you're seeking life, Jesus is a turning point. A turning point. In the great search for purpose and meaning in life, lots of people have taken a close look at Jesus. I am convinced that's the right place to look. There were 12 men in particular who chose to travel with Jesus and to learn from him up close and in person. And still, there was even one of those men who chose to reject the Jesus way. You see, Jesus offended some people. He bucked traditions. He challenged the comfortable and self-righteous. He reached out to people who'd been cast off by society. He valued simple faith. He called out hypocrites. He didn't fit people's mold. And while he claimed to be God in the flesh, he allowed himself to be captured, abused, and killed. A lot of people looked at that and rejected Jesus because of how he is. Paul wrote about it, 1 Corinthians. Indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In other words, when you look at Jesus, you've got a decision to make. You've got to decide something. It was Yogi Berra who used to say, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's funny because you don't have a choice, do you? We're on a men's trip to Canada some years ago, and we came to a sign there in Ontario on Highway 11, the Trans-Canada Highway, the district of Temiscaming, just north of Highway 66. It marks the place where water no longer flows south down into the Great Lakes, but instead goes to the Hudson Bay to the north. At that point on the globe, water that falls on one side of the highway will travel south to the Great Lakes and ultimately even farther south, or it will travel hundreds of miles the other direction to the north, all depending on which part of the highway, which side of the highway it lands on. It's called the Arctic Watershed. See, a watershed moment is an event that's decisive. It's a time, a point in life where things are going to go either one way or the other. We call that a watershed moment. That's what it's like when you choose what you're going to do about Jesus. He's a rock. He's not going to change. He's not going to move. But what you decide to do about him is definitely going to affect the direction that your life's going to go. What will Jesus be to you? Will he be a stumbling block? Or will he be the source of real life? Will you be offended at a king who serves? Will you be put off by a creator who makes himself like his creation? Will you be repelled by the God who becomes a baby? Will you be disgusted at a master who sacrifices himself? Or will you embrace Jesus as he is? Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. And as you think that through, bear this in mind, that if you're trying to build a life, Jesus is the cornerstone. This idea of Jesus being a stone, a cornerstone, starts in the Old Testament. We get that picture of him there, and it's repeated in the New Testament. Psalm 118, verse 22, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed." Paul says to the church in Ephesus, "You are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." Now that word cornerstone, your Bibles may have it also translated as capstone or keystone. Let me talk about that for just a second. Ancient builders used to fashion a stone. They would square it up real carefully and then set it on the foundation as the beginning point of a building project. They would be very careful to make sure all of the angles were right, because from that cornerstone then, all of the other angles of the building would be set. If it was true, the building could be true. If it wasn't, the building would be a mess. A cornerstone. There's another stone, another way this gets translated, and that's capstone or keystone. And that describes the last stone that gets set in the top of a stone arch. The capstone. You've heard of the Keystone State? The keystone. It bears the other stones to hold them in place. It holds the St. Louis Arch together. And just like a cornerstone, the structure depends on that. Take out that capstone, the structure will collapse. Do you get it? It's not so important if this word should be cornerstone or capstone. If you're trying to build a life, you need Jesus. You need him. Take him out of the picture, try it without him, or take him out of it, and you've got a mess. That's the point. So many people are trying to build their lives around some substitute, and then later, once things are a mess, they look back and they realize they needed to build their life around Jesus. Here's the good news, if that's you. You can start today to build your life on Jesus. Jesus is the rock that shelters and saves us when we seek him, or he's the rock that trips and crushes us if we reject him. He's going to be either one or the other to you, because he's the rock, and you just can't ignore him. Now, starting right now, I want you to think about what Jesus is in your life. And if you want him to be the cornerstone of your life, or if he is, but just if you want him to be, then I'd like you, get one of those Sharpie markers and your rock, here we go, and I'd like you to write on that stone that you have the word cornerstone. If you don't know how to spell it, we'll put a spelling aid up here for you. Jim Horn said, "I don't know how to spell." I said, "We'll have an aid for you, all right?" If that's where you're at, if you want Jesus as the cornerstone in your life, and by the way, these rocks are not to be given to somebody else. This is between you and God. you write on that stone that you have, cornerstone. And then if somebody needs the marker, pass it along so they can write also. Now, if that's not where you're at yet, or if you're stumbling around in your relationship with Jesus, if you're not ready to jump into being a follower of Jesus, then you can write stumble on that stone as a way of trying to describe where you're at. Or maybe you can write on that stone something that you would say is right now standing between you and God. All right? So if that's where you're at, indicate that. Put what's between you and God, or write stumble on it. And I want you then to hang on to those rocks. We're going to do something with them here in a little while. All right? Just write on it. Hang on to it. Pass along that marker. Keep writing as I'm speaking here. The main scripture that we were looking at today and unpacking is Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That is an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. A stone. A stone that originally is rejected and thrown aside, but then is given the most important place. And you know what? That is really a good description of what happened to Jesus on earth. Jesus came to his own creation, John writes, and generally he was rejected. His own family didn't believe in him. He visited his hometown and he was run out by a mob. He was God on earth, but the religious authorities hated him. He was born Jewish, and his people had him put to death. He was rejected. It says in Philippians 2, though, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. It's marvelous in our eyes. Is it? Is it marvelous to you? Today, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And I want to encourage you as we do that to marvel again at Jesus. Let's be amazed at the way that God used the humbling and the suffering of Jesus to make Jesus unmistakably great. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief capstone. The Lord has done this. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is a time that the followers of Jesus gather to remember and to honor him, our rock, the cornerstone, Jesus. Let's pray.